I said, good morning, everyone. How's everybody feeling? Well, I'm feeling great. Just wanted to kind of, you know, usually I get up here and, you know, make a little joke about beer and lighthearted things, but I wanted to talk to you briefly about something that was really serious that happened to my family and I this week. You know, things like immigration is a hot topic in the South, but this week my family and I found ourselves at the immigration office. We had to go there and fill out some paperwork. We had some things come up, and it was something that's rare. It doesn't happen all the time. They had to go back and find the paperwork and find a specialist that works on these type of cases. But everything's resolved, and I'm proud to let you guys know that I was conditionally cleared to cheer for Georgia tomorrow night for 4 hours. So... 4 hours, I'm cleared. It was a tough decision that we had to make. Myself, Roman, Chad filled out our paperwork, got there, and Sheena's paperwork, there was an issue with it. Apparently, when we got married, she never officially switched her paperwork over to Clemson, so that was an issue, but we'll talk about that later. But it's a crazy place. You know, you go in there, you see you can switch to any team for the championship. You could pick a team that you want to cheer for. Everybody was there except for South Carolina. And I was like, man, why is South Carolina not there? Is it because they're our rivals? And they said, no, they'll never make it to a championship. We don't want to waste the paper. So, no, I'm joking. So congrats to all my Bulldog fans, and I will be supporting you guys wearing my purple and orange. But I did want to tell you guys up just a quick update. You know, I've been talking a while about the house and the things that we've been dealing with that. We closed. We do have the house. We should be moving by the end of January. So I just wanted to take this time to thank you all for your thoughts, for your prayers, for your kind words. It was a tough process, but, you know, I feel like we are where we need to be. And, you know, I just wanted to thank you all for all the love and support. And, you know, just really people that are visitors here, that's where you are. It's a family. It's a family. And I felt the loving arms of this Eagles Way family while we were going through that. And it really helped my family as we got through that process. And I just wanted to update you guys and just, you know, from the bottom of my heart, from my family and everyone involved, just thank you all. So please stand and worship with us. Thank you.
That you started good, that there was no place other than the divine goodness of his presence that created you. And it's never, ever left you. And that's part of the struggle of humanity, is the dance between the loneliness of our false self and the divine beauty and love of our true self, of God who is in you, and becoming the full likeness of God, who you truly, truly are, is the ultimate goal. And you get to experience that in new ways every single day. And that is why I sing hallelujah this morning, because I know full well that the love of you, God, that fills me up, that created me in your image to be love to this world and to be loved in return. Everything that we pour out is from you. Thank you for the fruit that we bear when we're walking in you, for your powerful healing and your hope that is the anchor of our souls, that we are alive in you no matter what is going on around us, and all we have to do is to wait for your goodness. Wake up to your goodness inside of us, and then effortlessly walk through, because of who you are. Thank you, Father, for how you love us. We love you in return today. We know who you are. We know who we are. Just say that right now. I know who I am. And I know who you are, and I thank you. Thank you for your love.
Unreserved, unrestrained, your love is wild. Your love is wild for me. It isn't shy, it's unashamed. Don't give your heart in pieces.
that we are full of love. How can we escape you if we are of you? How could you ever leave us or hide yourself if you are inside of us?
Join his presence corporately. Nothing like it. If you got your bulletins, inside it is your connection card. If you're visiting with us for the first time, thank you for being here. We ask all of our members to fill out that card and to communicate with us, prayer requests and different things. And if you're visiting, we'd love to follow up with an email with you. So if you'd fill that out and drop it in the offering bucket at the end of the service.
You know, that song says he doesn't give his heart in pieces. In return, we shouldn't give our heart in pieces either. And what we're going to do today, we're going to have a corporate dedication service. I'm going to dedicate all of you to the Lord. And I'm not going to lift you up like I do babies. I'm not capable of doing that. But we're going to dedicate us all today unto the Lord. Is that good? And so I'm looking forward to that. This year is a year of new. The word that you'll be hearing over and over and over again is kainos. Say kainos. It means superior in quality. It means refreshing. It means not something that's brand new that never existed. It's taking whatever what already is and placing a brand new touch on it, refreshing it, renewing it, making it better, make it feel better, make it look better. Isn't that good? And so Jesus came to do that. He came not for annihilation, but for restoration. He told his disciples one day, he told them what being a disciple of his was all about. And Peter jumped up and said, "Man, Lord, we have forsaken everything and followed you. We've given it all up. I gave up my boat. I gave up my fishing. I gave up my job. And I've been following you. We've done it. Nobody else is like us, you know. We've forsaken everything and followed you." And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits upon his throne, and the apostles and the 12 tribes of Israel, because you have followed me, nobody has left mother or father or houses or lands that will not in this life receive houses and lands 100 times more than you gave up. And in the end, eternal life." So he said, you're going to get two things. You're going to get a better life here and eternal life there. How many know that salvation is not for heaven? You didn't get saved to go to heaven. You die to go to heaven. To go live there. You die. Salvation is for now. I need God today. I need him every day of my life. And so I want to, you know, we talked a little bit about, and I heard something this morning I thought was real good. Instead of using the word resolution, it said re-dash solution. Be a solution. When God placed you here on this earth, he placed you here to be a solution to a lot of different things. And he gave you a vision that you've got to discover for yourself. And the Bible says without a vision, without divine guidance, we perish. And that word perish doesn't mean that we die. It means we just dismiss it. We go back. We lose out. And so in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, he says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. He says this, every one of you have your own salvation to work out. I can't work out somebody else's, I got to work out mine. Now I want to put it in a little different light so you'll maybe see this, help you this year in a better way. Say it like this. Work out your own plan that God has specifically given you. Work it out. Because God gave you a divine plan in this earth. When we dedicate children, we read Psalms 139 every time. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, he knew me. As I was being wrought in my mother's womb, he saw me. Before one day had come, he had planned out all of them. As his thoughts to me are as numerous as the sands of the sea. God, thy thoughts to me are as numerous as the sands of the sea. I cannot go from your presence. If I try to go and hide, you're there. Wherever I go, you're there. I can't get away from you. I can get in a boat like Jonah and think I can get away, but how many know God's in the boat? God is everywhere. And he says, you can't get away from me. No matter where you go, I'm there. Because what he's trying to do is get this divine plan that's in you out. And so when he gives you this divine plan, and it comes in a lot of ways. Let me get ahead of myself. You have core values in you. There are things that you believe strongly. That's part of your vision. That's what God placed in. There are things in you that break your heart that doesn't break other people's heart. There's things in you that drive you that doesn't drive other people. The Bible says there are all kind of gifts. There's 1 Corinthians 12 gifts. There's Romans 12 gifts where he talked about the gift of prophecy and the gift of serving and the gift of administration. He said, use these gifts. He said, I had a core value as a little boy, and the core value was people matter to me. There was something about people that I just had a compassion for. It's your core values, and then there's your gifts that God gives you. God has given you gifts. There are things you do really, really, really well. You do. Don't be false humility about it. There's things you need to humble yourself, but this is not one of them. This is not one of them. You need to know the gifts that God's placed in you so you can use the gifts, right? So I got core values, I've got gifts, and I got past experiences. And those past experiences, all things work together. Listen to this in a total different light. All things work together for good for them who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good for all those who love God and who are called with his divine purpose inside them. You have a divine nature. You've got a divine purpose. He has a tailor-made plan for you. Tailor-made. Doesn't fit anybody else. It's just for you. Just for you. And some people, you know, I'm no big deal. They won't really not notice if I'm not there. It doesn't really matter. I don't really give anything to the kingdom. I mean, saw the Georgia football game. I know two or three of you did. Big muscled backs running down the field. Three little fingers won the game. Three fingers won the game. Hadn't it been for those three fingers that touched that field goal, been a total different outcome. Don't ever think you're not important. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, the ones who think they're really not important, they're the ones who really are important. And the eye can't say to the ear, I have no need of thee. The hand can't say to the feet, I have no need of thee. What would the body be if it was all one? What would the body be if everybody did the same thing? Everybody looked the same way. Everybody had the same gifts. There would be no purpose for the body, but the body has many functions, has many members, and they're all important. They're all critical. There's a little part of your body you never will see, and it's really small, about the size of a half a dollar, called a pancreas, but you can't live without it. You can't live without it. And there are parts of your body you just can't live without. You may not see them, but you can't live without them. When you got a vision, I believe there's four things that happen. Number one, you stay focused. See, my vision, the vision you got to have is always 100%. My vision is to fulfill the plan of God that he has in my life. You know, when you read all these men and women in the Bible, you see how God called them God called them in different ways. God called Moses out of a burning bush. Moses, seemingly, I guess he heard God's audible voice. Joseph had a dream. He had a dream, and the dream propelled him into his lifelong plan. Nehemiah didn't have a dream and didn't have an audible voice, but Nehemiah just happened. He was a cupbearer for the king. He had a great job. He was secure. He had a great meals every day. Everything was going great for Nehemiah, but he happened to make a trip back to Jerusalem, and he saw the temple, saw the walls torn down and the stones burned, and he had a burden, and the burden grabbed him so much, he says, I got to do something about this. Sometimes God just gives you a burden. That's your plan. That's a vision that he's placed in you. When you're just burdened with something's breaking your heart when you see it. I've had two dreams that God spoke to me in the dream. Now, most of the dreams, I don't even get up and try to ask God what that dream meant because it was scary. But sometimes I had two dreams in my life that changed my life, took the course I was going on and the plan that God had for my life, and he just took it for a turn in a dream. You never know how God's going to speak to you. You just got to be open and conscious, aware that he's there. And it will keep you focused. It'll keep you focused. You'll have endurance. You know, how many has ever had a setback in their life? Ever had a setback? You know, God gave Joseph a dream. And let me tell you something about dreams. You better be careful who you tell them to. Be careful. Joseph gets up from a dream one night and tells, he went right straight to his brothers. You won't believe the dream I had, boys. I dreamed that all y'all bow down to me. That I'm the youngest, but I'm going to be the best and the most. I'm the one. And all of you are going to bow down to me one day. Well, they did, but it took a while. He went from the dream to the pit, from the pit to the palace, from the palace to the prison, from the prison back to the palace. And it ended up all was well, but there was a few setbacks along the way. But you know what? He never gave up. Because he had this, I don't believe that he got this statement when his brothers finally came and bowed down to him, really. When he said, what you did for me, you meant for evil, God meant for good. Wow, that's endurance. You will endure if you know that everything that comes your way in life is all part of the plan. And what it meant for evil, God means for good. Your vision will give you peace. It'll give you passion. It'll give you passion. I want you to look at Proverbs 3, 5 through 18. I started to say turn your Bibles. People don't bring Bibles no more. Trust in the Lord with all your what? Now, what I want you to see in this passage, we don't give our heart in pieces. I heard a man say this week, and I wrote it down. He says, Christianity is not casual, it's not comfortable, and it's not convenient. It's more than that. It's too much of a casual approach to Christianity, a casual approach to what we believe. America has gotten such a casual approach about their faith. Other religions don't have a casual approach about their faith. Christianity is the only one that has just casual approach about its faith, their faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do. He'll show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body, strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then He will fill your barns with grain. Your vats will overflow with good wine. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when He corrects you. That's a good one, isn't it? For the Lord corrects those He loves, just as the father corrects a child in whom he delights. Joyful is a person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Now, I want to break this down to you of what he says. Number one, he says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Seek His will. Say, seek. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Be impressed with His wisdom, not your wisdom. Give your best. Give your first fruits. Receive correction. That's a good one. Receive correction. Now let me tell you how you receive correction. Number one, you're not the ones to correct another person. The Bible didn't say, Buren, Joey is going to correct you. He said, the Lord will correct you. And how does He do that? He corrects me through listening to teaching and preaching. He corrects me through daily meditation. He corrects me when I read the scriptures. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And if you just listen to the Lord every single day, the Lord will correct you. But you have to be willing to receive it, because every single day we need some correcting of our life, getting in line. And he said, last of all, embrace wisdom. Go after it with all your heart. All these passages of scripture I'm giving you are messages in their own, but they're so important for today. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Don't you realize that in a race everybody runs? But only one person gets the prize, so run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. It's what Paul said. Number one, run to win. Run to win. I've told this story many times, but my brother was a big NASCAR fan, and my father was a kind of a NASCAR fan too, like watching the races. And when you go watch a race, you watch it on TV or you're there, all those cars aren't out there to win. There's only a few of them out there to win. They know when they get on the track, they're not going to win. They're there to get lap money. Every time they go around that lap, they get lap money. But there's a few of them out there who are intentional about winning. And they paid the price to get to where they can have an automobile that can win that race. I told you a story about the horse, didn't I? He lost every race he ever run in. And one day the owner of the horse tells him, "Say, if you don't win this race, you're going to be pulling a milk cart in the morning." And the gates opened, the horse came out, and the jockey started beating the horse, and the horse just looked around the jockey and said, "Take it easy on me, pal. I got to get up early in the morning." Because he ain't having no intention of winning. I love watching people. I mean, people's made the resolutions. Be careful, because they're all in the streets. You see them in the roads today, don't you? I mean, they're everywhere. I saw them going around the track yesterday. It was so cold, they wrapped up. And I said, well, they committed to it right now. I saw a little dog. I really thought he spoke to me when I went by him. Somebody was walking, and they had the little dog walking the little dog, and I felt like the dog said, I didn't make this resolution. This wasn't my resolution. And because he, anyway, so run to win. Run to win. Number two, he says, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. God is a rewarder. He wants to reward you. He really does. God wants to reward you. But you've got to keep your eye on the prize. What's the prize? Whatever you're doing, whatever principle you're working, what is the result of that principle? What's the prize? Keep your eye on the prize. Run with purpose. Run with purpose in every step and just keep on training. Keep on training. You never stop spiritual discipline. There's never a time. You can take time off physical activity. You can take time off of all these other things. You can't take time off spiritually. You can't take, I'm going to train for a month and I'm going to take a month off spiritual training. It won't happen. That which you have will be taken away. But that which you're adding to, more will be given. That's a principle of God that just works all the time. He says, you got to stay in training. And this last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, let me back up for a moment. Paul starts this chapter off, and he starts talking about how important the resurrection was. But he started talking about all the other apostles, how important they were. Talked about how many people saw Jesus after his resurrection. And then Paul really gets, let me just read. Last of all. Now he's throwing himself, he's kind of coming out with a little humble pie. Last of all, though I have been born at the wrong time. In other words, I probably should have been an apostle. That's what he's saying. I was born at the wrong time, because if I'd been the right time, I'd have been one of the 12. I would have been one of the 12 foundations of the church, by the way. That's what I'm telling you. Though I was been born at the wrong time, I also saw him from the least of the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted the church. But whatever, I am now. And then something happens. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. For I worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. Boy, he made a turnaround. I'm the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle, but I'm the greatest of all the apostles. I worked in labor more than any of them because of grace of God that was in me. See, he had this special grace to do this special thing, just like you have a special grace to do a special thing. Nobody else got it. You have a special grace that's in you. It's called a particular grace. How many got anybody in their life that is EGR people? Extra grace required people. You got any of them? I remember, I know I brag on my grandkids all the time, but I'm a granddaddy, that's what you do. But when Anna was little and she was at the doctor looked at Dusty and said, you have a very gifted child. And Dusty kind of, well, thank you. I'm not telling you that as a compliment, he said. This is going to be a very difficult child to raise. And you know what has had to happen in all of our lives in raising Anna? Extra grace required. It's going to take a special kind of grace to raise Jane. a special kind of grace. There's a special grace for everything in your life that you come in contact with, you come to do. There's a particular grace to get you through that. And you're going to run into some people who are going to have extra grace required for you to get through. You know, kid, as you come, I love this. What we do, we pray the wrong prayers. We just pray the wrong prayers. We've asked God to change somebody when our prayer should be, God, give me more grace. God, give me more grace. Well, I wish you could change my wife. I wish you could change my heart. I wish you could change. God, give me more grace. How many know that the Bible said where sin abounds or bad abounds or evil abounds or not good things abound, grace doth that much more abound? What if we ask God for more grace instead of changing? Because we don't want to take responsibility for seeing the change. It's when you go home today, read 1 Corinthians 12 in this light. Read 1 Corinthians 12 in a brand new light of how important every single person in the body of Christ is. Every single person. How you have something that nobody else has. It's not just your fingerprint, it's your soul print. Not just your fingerprint that's different. Your soul print is different than anybody else's. But we get focused on this natural life to the extent that we get up every morning and go about fulfilling the plans of our life and not focusing on the divine plan that is in that life that He put you there. You may work here or there or wherever, and that's a natural plan for you, but in that natural plan, there's a divine plan that God has in you to be in that place doing what you're doing around those people, to be something to them that nobody else can be. Nobody else can be. And so wherever it is and whatever it is, God has a divine vision, plan, embedded in your life that was put there before you were born. And that's why it's such a grave responsibility when you see a little baby, and that not just seeing a baby, but you see a divine plan of God for that child that's starting to work right now. And we, as parents, are to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord that they're continually developing and coming into their divine plan, their vision for their life that God has. I had core values when I was little, care for people. I had special gifts that I knew I had. But I had past experiences. And the older I got, I look back over my past experiences and I see why all of those things was God working His divine nature in me. As shy as I was, if I gave a book report, I gave an oral book report. I had a certain class that we could either write our book report or we could give an oral book report. I always gave an oral book report because I could remember everything I'd read. That was God working His divine plan in me when I was a little boy to do what I'm doing today. He was working His divine plan in me then. I had this compassion for people. I didn't know why I cared for people the way I cared for people. But I had this divine compassion for people when I was a little boy. God preparing, God preparing, God preparing. We just got to know that that's what he's doing. We have to be consciously aware that he's working this plan. But you got to know it's God's plan. There was a man years ago, he wanted so bad to be an apostle. Wanted so bad to be in the fivefold ministry. Well, I told him on several occasions, you're not. You're not. He gave me a check one time. He said, sign it. Whatever amount of money you want to put on it, you sign it. You just fill it out and sign it. You can have it. I gave it back to him. He says, no way. Can't buy this stuff. Can't buy it. Same man put a gun to his head and blew his brains out. Because he's trying and trying and trying to do something that God didn't call him to do. That wasn't his divine plan. Wasn't his divine plan in his life. Years ago, in the Olympics, there was a marksman, rifle shooter. He got to the very last day. All he had to do was hit one target, just in the, not even in the bullseye, Joy, just had to get in the circle, and he gets a gold medal. Gets down, aims, shoots, bullseye. But he shot the wrong target and dropped from gold medal to eight because he shot the wrong target. Shot the wrong target. Sometimes we're just aiming at the wrong target. Trying to do something we weren't called to do. Trying to be something we weren't called to be. That's why it's so important that we line up with God's divine plan for our life. God's divine plan for our life. I got so tickled. I know the big old dude that was hollering at the Oklahoma quarterback, humble yourself. Humble yourself. I know where that came from. I'll tell you where that came from. And I assure you, you go do some back ground check on this. He's got a Pentecostal mama and a Pentecostal grandmama who told him all his life, humble yourself, boy. Humble yourself. I guarantee you, you just look it up. I guarantee you'll find that. That's for us to find our place. Humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and let him take us and mold us into the person and the plan that he has for our life. I want you to stand with me. This morning, normally we take communion the first Sunday, but we had communion just a couple of weeks ago. I want to give you an opportunity today to make a decision of dedicating your life to the Lord in such a way that I want this year my focus to be so on his plan and purpose for me that I really, on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, I start seeing this divine plan of God, this my own personal salvation, be working it out. Working it out. It's really a mathematical term. Working, in other words, you keep working it out until you get an answer. And I believe that that is a constant thing. Constant thing. I was reading a book. I've been reading some difficult books lately. I read a whole book and I get one thing out of it. But this one particular book said, he asked this rabbi, are you saved? The rabbi said, how can you be saved? That's a past tense word. How can you be saved? He said, I'm being saved. I'm in the process of being saved a lot. See, I grew up Pentecostal and grew up in a denomination where the school I went through, Berean School of the Bible, they had a whole book on the if factor. If you do this, you hold to your eternal life. My father was an ordained Southern Baptist. Daddy never did believe you could lose your salvation. He was deep in eternal security. And he couldn't get licensed because he'd been married before with that particular denomination. Anyway, the if factor is not about salvation. It's not about heaven. The if factor is about seeing God's divine plan and purpose worked out in your life. That's the if factor. If you do this, this, and this, the divine plan nature of God worked out. But you got to do this. And so this year, for things to work out, you got to work it out. And as you start working it out, this is what happens. As you start working it out, God starts working in you both the will and the to-do of His good pleasure. But it's a corporate, a agreement with you and Him. If you want to make that this morning, you want to make that new and fresh in your life, would you just come and stand across this front and let us pray with you that this year is going to be a year that I begin to work out in a very unique, special way the plan of salvation in my life. Because what it's going to take is some EGR. It's going to take it. EGR, extra grace required. And if I just every situation and circumstance I come into this year, if I would just pause for a moment and say, God, it's going to take some extra grace required. It's going to take some extra grace required to do this. I can't do this on my own. It's going to take some extra grace required. Now look at me, I'm going to pray. He said in John chapter 1, Word became flesh and we beheld His glory, the glory only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of this truth have all we received grace for grace. Grace upon grace. Grace is an ongoing thing He'll give you, not just one time. Because you're going to have come to circumstances and situations, it's going to take some EGR. It's going to take some extra grace required in this one. And if you ask for it, guess what? James said, when you fall into various trials and testings, when you do, count it all joy. But if you lack wisdom regarding that, ask God for it and He'll give it to you. Instead of asking God, get me out of it, ask God to get you through it. When we first come into Christianity, God does things for us. But it's to bring us to the place where He does things through us. And it's time right now for you, for me, for all of us. Not what God can do for us, what can He do through us? What is He going to do through us? So Father, You see right here every single person standing before You with special gifts of grace, special gifts of love and mercy, giving, special gifts of administration, special gifts that You put in them when they were conceived in their mother's womb. They came already with these gifts. And they came to be nurtured, to be cared for, to be looked at, so that they continue to grow and grow and grow into the divine purpose and vision that You have for their life. And I thank You, God, that from this day, we're going to just refresh our minds, renew our minds with this vision of divine guidance that You have for us. Divinely guide us every day. That we acknowledge You in all our ways, everything that comes our way. We acknowledge You. We seek Your wisdom and not our wisdom. We give You, Lord, the best of our life. And we thank You for the grace that's going to work in us to do both the will and the to-do of Your good pleasure. We thank You for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I got a word for somebody, maybe two or three of you, but it is that I defined depression one time several years ago. Depression is losing something that you cherish very much or not getting something that you wanted very much. And this thing's going to be turned around. The thing that you treasured the most, you lost, is going to be restored. And the thing that you didn't think you're ever going to get, you're going to get. It's just going to turn around this year. It's not going to be the opposite. That treasured, precious thing. See, that's what renewing is all about, restoration is all about, is restoring the precious things in your life. With me? There are things you don't care about. Come on. There are things that really don't mean that much, but they're this precious stuff. And it's the precious stuff that he's in the renewal about. It's the precious things that he wants to restore. That was precious to you. Wow. Amen. God bless you.
You may be seated. As our ushers are coming and receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, I want to thank you for your faithfulness. You doing what God has called you to do allows Eagles Way to do what Eagles Way has been called to do in this community, around the world, in people's lives, and within the doors. So thank you. If you missed Wednesday night, first Wednesday, whoo. If it wasn't good for anybody else but me, it was good. Some incredible personal ministry taking place on first Wednesdays. So mark your calendar for February. You don't want to miss it. It's awesome. Good stuff. My band is back there saying, "Do I have to come up?" Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to your house. Lord, that we can receive all that you have for us. That, Lord, so that we can be. And, Lord, as we be and are becoming who we're supposed to be, that our doing becomes more fruitful and it multiplies. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Receive that. I want to give just a kind of plant some seeds for just 1 second. We have a lot of ministries within the church. We have the coffee and donut team, and there's several of you that are a part of that. Thank you. We could use a few more volunteers in that area. We have a EWC kids team. Whether it's the nursery ages or the older ages, we have a converged youth ministry teams. If you are not plugged in and planted somewhere, serving in some form or some capacity, we can get you plugged in and planted somewhere. Sharon Stevens, many of you know, has had some back surgery here recently. But for the last 3 or 4 years, she has kind of overseen the Rushton Hope ministry that takes place. Eagles Way is responsible, has been responsible for one Saturday a month. And we are going to continue to do that. I say that with a caveat because Sharon has said that she's willing to oversee the cook team. They cook the entire meal that day. But she needs to lay down being on the serve team and heading that up. And so she will, we're going to continue to do that in January. The head of the serve team is going to be yours truly. But I need someone that wants to come alongside me and help support me in that. And so it takes at least 6 people from Eagles Way on that particular Saturday to serve that meal. We're responsible for cooking it, taking it, and serving it. There's lots of other things that goes on that day, and we're not responsible for all of those things. So if you have a little bit, and you know, a pinky's worth of organizational ability with inside of you, I encourage you to come see me. Let me know that you might would be interested in doing that. It basically is from 10 until 1, on that, and we're going to take the fourth Saturday of the month, and it will be January through October. We're not doing November and December. So think about that, and always like to just, whenever there's a need, let you know that there's a need, and then you can pray as whether or not you're one of the people to help fulfill that need. God bless you. have a wonderful day. Go and give to somebody what God has given to you.